friends with beer?
That ukulele has got to go.
Peter, I have a suggestion, and I was going to tell you this. If you want something different, you go to the internet, you find a licensed stinger or music clip, just music that we can use. You pay for the goddamn thing.
Stinger? What's a stinger?
You find the music, you pay for it, and it better not be something that sounds like a radio thing, like some metalhead intro. Because I know that a lot of the podcasts you listen to very much sound like radio voices.
So what's a stinger?
You don't know what a stinger is?
I thought a stinger is like something you find on the back of certain insects. Not to be confused with a stingray, which is similar, but different. Stand by while Scott looks up a stinger to define it for Peter.
A stinger is a chord at the end of a march that is used to punctuate the ending of the composition. However, the way that stinger is used in audio recordings or movies is a lot of times it's just a short, very short sound clip that is used in many different ways. Technically, it's at the end of something to punctuate that something, but the way stingers are used, like if you open GarageBand, you have a whole bunch of loops. Some of those are stingers, and people always use those as the intro to the podcast. So again, don't use some well-known sound clip, like anything from GarageBand or anything from Logic or anything from any program. Go to the internet, find an original composition that you can buy that has a license, and buy it. I don't care what it costs you, if it makes you stop complaining. Then you have the right to complain. You look frozen.
I'm just decided if I didn't say anything, then you would be the one complaining, so I'm going to just be quiet.
Well, first of all, who cares what it... let's just drink our beer.
What are you drinking today?
I'm drinking something that you've had before. Look at this.
Oh, Hell or High Watermelon. I know that one.
Now, you know that I had the Hell or High Mango before. I think I did on this podcast.
Which is funny because I've had Mango Cart, but I don't remember if I had Melon Cart on this podcast.
You've had Mango Cart. That's right. You've had Hell or High Watermelon. Maybe I only had Hell or High Mango at home, but never on the podcast. I think that's true.
I don't think you have. Yeah, but I've had Mango Cart, so we should compare and contrast these guys.
I think when I did drink it, I talked to you about it, but I don't remember
but
that
not today, Santa.
No, not today, Santa.
Because I am having a Green State Lager. It's from Zero Gravity.
The lagers are already angry enough about losing their jobs. Do you have to drink them too?
This is not the kind that wears a flannel shirt. It's L-A-G-E-R. As in, not an ale. It's that kind of beer. Do you know how many kinds of beers? There are two types of beers.
Kind beer and not kind beer?
There are only two types of beers.
You said one of the beers is kind.
Yeah, one of them is kind and one of them is not so kind. So here we go.
I should have poured this at more of an angle.
You should have. Now you got the head on that. But hey.
Yeah, but I was trying to make sound effects for my mic.
Here's a Green State Lager. Now that was a sound effect.
Yeah, lagers always have to brag about how big their sound effects are.
I got some ice cubes in my glass. Gotta drain those.
By the way, speaking of lagers, nothing's more entertaining than watching people take a chainsaw to a tree in their yard and having the tree come down on the house, even though their stupid buddies are pulling on it with ropes.
Are you going to add that to the show notes? Because that sounds like something we should include in the show notes.
If I can find one.
All right, now, I am taking this can of lager, which is only half empty, and putting it, the half full part, back into my cooler of ice.
If I had a cooler of ice, I would do the same with mine, but I do not have a cooler of ice. Peter, I have an important question for you, though.
Hello, Peter. We have sort of a problem here.
Yeah, well, what's happening is lots and lots and lots of running. But now what's happening is I'm going to drink a beer, so cheers.
The reason I was going to ask you what's happening is you're wearing elbow pads, long elbow pads.
They're not elbow pads, they're compression sleeves. And I forgot to take them off. I just put them on when I went for a walk about a half an hour, hour ago, as opposed to putting on sunscreen, because my forearms tend to burn very easily. So it's easier for me just to slip these guys on.
That was exactly what I was about to say. That's the only reason I could see for wearing those, because that's what I started wearing near the end of my outside biking episodes.
So that's what I did.
Sunscreen just sucks.
It's either that or I slather. Exactly.
That's just it.
Bingo. There you go.
It takes an hour to get ready. You're slathering all this crap on. It's gooey, it's sticky, it's greasy. Now your fingers are covered in it, and you're touching your watch and other stuff that you're using to do your exercise. And then you go out and you sweat, and you don't know if you're protected anymore. It's ridiculous.
And then everything you touch is white.
Yeah, everything you touch is white.
I was trying to turn away from my microphone because while I can mute myself in FaceTime, apparently I can't do that in Piezo, which is what I'm using to record on my side. So I had to turn away to cough.
It doesn't matter because you have a wonderful editor who actually takes all those things out.
Well, in that case, I'll just cough right on the mic next time.
Go for it. I know what those waveforms look like.
That looks distinctly like a cough.
Huh? I can tell when somebody says, I see it coming a mile away. I chop those puppies out. Unless they make it part of the word that they're saying, and in which case I don't chop it out because there's no way to do it cleanly.
But I'm going to order pizza tonight.
So, no, don't do that again. Last time you ordered pizza, you got drunk. You called Wegmans.
Last time I ordered pizza was yesterday, actually, and it was a vegan pizza that I ordered.
Last time you ordered pizza on this podcast, you got drunk. You called your friends. They said, Peter, fuck off.
They did not say that. You're the only one who ever says that.
They said it.
I'm wondering if I'm developing like an aversion to wheat, because I'm noticing that I get clogged up very quickly after drinking beers lately. Like I'm maybe, what, 3-4 ounces into this beer and my nose and sinuses are getting sniffly. That may
Could
seem...
it really be that fast, though?
It sure feels like it.
No, but I'm saying I understand that people have problems with wheat, but does it happen immediately? Like you've had 2 sips.
It sure feels like it.
I know, but...
Yeah, I'm clogged.
You're going to have to do scientific experiments if you want me to get to believe it.
Which means drinking a lot of beer.
Well, it means drinking beer separated by long periods of not drinking beer so that you can prove it.
The last several times like that I've gone out for a beer with one of my drinking buddies, I've noticed I do get clogged up. It hasn't usually been this fast.
Wait, which end of you is getting clogged up?
My nose. I just said that.
Because otherwise I was going to say, are you eating cheese while you're drinking beer?
All right, back to the show notes. Let's get back on track, shall we?
No. Let's talk about this because ever since I had COVID, I have gone through periods where I have extreme stomach problems. And it comes and goes, it comes and goes, it comes and goes. And it doesn't seem to be related to diet as far as I can tell, except I am starting to wonder if it's related to drinking beer. Because when I go for long periods of not drinking beer, those troubles magically go away. However, I have also had periods where it's gone away for this long, so I haven't had enough of a time yet to establish that that's a fact. It's a supposition. Well, no, it's a suspicion, not even a supposition yet. I'm trying to drink less beer in general anyway, because right now yes. I'm losing weight again. So.
Yeah, which you've been doing, and you've been successful in that, according to your messages to me.
Well, yeah, I still need to go down. I wouldn't mind dropping 6 pounds right now.
Well, I'm hovering in the low 160s, which is still in a good zone for me. But a year ago, leading up to my first race, my marathon, I was in the 150s. And then after the race, I was down to like, you know, 148 or so.
But Peter, it sounds like you're drinking a lot of beer. But I will say that this trail running and you're doing a lot of miles, I would hope that your leg muscles weigh a little bit more now than they did back then.
My leg muscles do weigh more, but again, I've talked about this. I don't know if it's this podcast or I'm blurring the lines, but I also, something that's different is I actually eat regularly while I run. So something I was not doing during the marathon, other than like the occasional energy gel. So I think I'm not like starving myself for hours at a time during my training runs anymore.
You have to have nourishment during a 50K. I'm sorry.
No, you don't have to be sorry.
Anybody can lope through a marathon without eating, Peter, but not just anybody can lope through 50K without eating.
Lope this.
Wow.
Lope this. So what are you telling me about? So how do you like your beer so far? How's your Heller High Watermelon?
It's good. I don't know if I'd buy it all the time, but it's good. It's a good beer. How would you describe it? Because you've had it.
Frankly, when I had that one before, what I remember is I was hoping it would have a little more watermelon flavor to
it. Yeah, that's right. It's a wheat and it tastes like a wheat, mm-hmm. but it's not mm-hmm. an especially golden tasting wheat, if that makes sense.
Right.
And it doesn't have enough watermelon. I would like a little bit more watermelon taste in this. I almost feel like they're afraid of offending people. But the thing that doesn't make sense about that is the same company has a mango beer that definitely tastes more like mango than this tastes like watermelon.
And I haven't had a melon cart in a while, but I seem to recall a lot more pronounced mango flavor in mango cart than in melon cart. So I think that's consistent across breweries.
Remind me what yours is, Green State?
Green State Lager from Zero Gravity Brewing.
Zero Gravity. So they're saying that you can drink all the beer you want and it will have no effect on gravity's hold on you. Because I don't believe that.
No, I think it's after you drink all of this beer, you can then fly because you experience zero gravity.
Mm. Yeah, drinking beer definitely makes people lighter.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all the bubbles, the effervescence. So I hear Oregon is on fire again.
Yeah, it's getting to be that time. Listen, I'm not going to lie. This is the beginning of the podcast, so we can get on to cheerier topics later. But given how we're racing past milestones that scientists thought wouldn't happen for a while yet, and given that a lot of scientists think there are several tipping points that we're racing right up towards, I think we're toast. I don't think we're going to reverse climate change. We might be able to survive it, but not as many people on the planet as exist now are going to be able to survive it, because there's just nowhere for all those people to go that's not going to be unlivable. I don't know, Peter. I'm just saying, I'll be amazed. Look, humanity's got a big one to pull itself out of, and right now humanity is super divided, and also we're running out of money, which I don't know if you've noticed, but combating the effects of climate change gets rather expensive. So I think we're fucked.
Yeah, I don't think it's money that's keeping it. I mean, if we decided that we had to fix things, I think we would find the resources to dedicate to it. I think that could happen. It's the desire.
Well, I think it's both. We would dedicate more money to it. We would find resources, but then we'd run out of resources for other basic things that also keep us alive. Society would not be the same, is what I'm saying. There are things we will absolutely have to give up that we take for granted now, and there's just no way around it. We can't do both. We can't keep our modern lifestyle continued unabated and pay for fighting climate change. We can't.
Tanks and jets and iPhones.
And a lot of stuff, like, yeah.
Cargo jets, not tanks and jets.
Every family having their own SUV that they drive alone to work, all that shit is going down the tubes.
Yep. Yeah, and that would change a lot of people's lives. Also, it wouldn't change a lot of people's lives. There are a lot of people who don't have those luxuries now.
Right. People in other countries, the American lifestyle for sure has to change. There's just no way around it.
The bulk of it. We have plenty of that in this country, though, that don't have. Not everybody here is driving an SUV.
No, I understand that. But as a whole, as a country, percentage-wise, we have practices in our lives that we take for granted that we think is just life that has to go.
Richest nation on earth.
Anyway, yeah, we're on fire again. And I could lose power because they're going to shut power off as needed if they determine fire hazards, because we also have winds going on.
Awesome. Wind and fire, those are two things that go together really well.
Right. I was going to say, I don't know if you've noticed, but things burning combined with winds sweeping through the flame usually causes problems.
Yeah, that's great. Great combination. It's like chocolate and peanut butter.
Anyway, when I woke up today, I looked out and saw that the sky was orange again, and I realized this is going to become an annual thing. So there you go.
Great.
I guess what I'm saying is I don't remember a time now when I just felt like there's nothing going on to be worried about. Like everything's going to be okay. Everything's not going to be okay now more than ever. It's always been that way. But for a lot of us, we could just go about our day thinking everything's okay, everything's normal, and just go through our lives. I have not felt that in a long time. And I'm not saying that it's my right to. Nobody guarantees us an easy life. Nobody says living on Earth is simple. Nobody says we should have a stress-free, carefree life. But I am saying that I think now it's to a point where I'll be amazed if I feel that way again in my lifetime.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to offer there other than just, you know, like those who have decided, whatever, and just give up. And just don't care anymore. They're like, okay, we're all going to die. It sucks.
Right. And that's fine on a personal level. It doesn't solve any of the problems. But yeah, it's a viewpoint that a lot of people are either going to have to take. I think that'll get harder to take as problems happen, because when economies start falling apart, when governments start running out of funds and or falling apart for other reasons, it'll get weird. If it starts getting weird, then it'll be harder for people to have that attitude. Right now, I can understand totally why people have that attitude or want to have that attitude, because otherwise you're going insane about stuff that you personally can't change.
Yeah, well, that's just it. It's easier. This is, isn't that what, the tragedy of the commons? Isn't that how that's known?
Unfortunately, that's just escapism. And I guess if all your options are escapism, that's pretty sad. I never like to believe that all of humans' options are just escapism.
I'd like to think we have other options.
Right, but I'm saying if we get to the point where the only valid option is escapism, then we are toast. We're dead men walking, we just don't know yet.
So, happy thoughts. On that note, let's escape. Let's escape to something else. Let's believe.
What's Led Tasso?
I don't know, you typed that.
Mm.
I think that's you misspelling Ted Lasso after too many beer.
I thought it sounded like a good band name.
So yeah, I finished season 2 of Ted Lasso last night.
How many seasons are there? I don't remember now.
2. I'm caught up now.
For some reason, I thought there were 3.
Danny Rojas. He's still my favorite. Football is life.
You know what? I was going to get some... damn it, Peter.
You're going to get some Ted Lasso clips? So yeah, I finished season 2 of Ted Lasso. It was enjoyable. The reason I did is I bought concert tickets recently from Ticketmaster, and it's like, your purchase includes 30 days of Apple TV Plus. And I was like, all right, well, let's see if I can do this. I mean, I have an account. I already had my free, like, I had a free year of Apple TV Plus when I bought, I think, my iPad a couple years ago.
Right.
And I never used it until, like, about, like, the last couple of months. And then I just started watching Ted Lasso and C, and I binged those. And then my free trial ran out, and I didn't care enough to buy it again. So I waited. And then I got the free one, so I binged season 2 of Ted Lasso. And now I'm going to, maybe tonight I might start C, because apparently that's coming back for a third season. So I'll catch up with season 2, which will be fun.
No, it's a season.
C-E-S-S-E-E. C, mm-hmm. Starring Jason Momoa, where like everyone is blind. It's an mm-hmm. interesting apocalyptic perspective on things.
Jason Momoa's in something else now too.
Aquaman? Except that's been pushed out.
No, there's something else that he's in that I saw advertised on Apple TV. I don't remember.
Huh.
Anyway, maybe I'm wrong, but anyway, how can I say that? How here I am trying to criticize people that are making a successful living and doing a really good job of it. Let me just put it this way. I think The Rock is a little bit overexposed, but I think he has a higher ceiling than this Jason Momoa guy. I can stand to see more of The Rock.
Well, that's good, because there, number one, I think there is more of The Rock, and number two, I think he's more visible, because he's, like, everywhere. Everywhere I turn around, he's, like, he's there.
I'm not saying that I want to see all that stuff, and I'm glad he's in all that stuff. I'm just saying, I don't know, he's better?
I generally like him. I like Dwayne Johnson's stuff. He's, you know, I like most of it. I'm not saying all of the movies he's in are good, but I generally enjoy them, mostly. Jungle Cruise.
Let me put it this way.
That was not good.
For a guy that almost 1000% took a lot of steroids, for a guy that almost 1000% was in a career where it's just made up nonsense and a lot of lying's involved, and they destroy their body with steroids in order to do
it. Acting!
He's a very likable guy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I wasn't joking when they were on, when he was on Saturday Night Live with Tom Hanks, you know, and like they were talking about running for president and vice president. I was like, yeah, given the choice, I'd vote for them. Sure.
I would actually, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Character, because they come across as having good character, and that matters.
Right. Plus, The Rock could just beat the holy you-know-what out of McConnell.
There you go. So, anything new happen in the tech world or the Apple space lately?
No, not at all. And Peter, I want to talk to you about something.
So. Yeah, I didn't think so.
People who, first of all, I've heard a rumor, okay? Apparently, there's people who do a lot of running?
There are people. There are people who run, yes.
Wait, is that a thing?
That's a thing. Oh, that is totally a thing. I saw a person today, a woman, when I was out for a walk, and she looked like she was running, like, a mile.
Peter, what I don't understand is why Apple had this event where they came out with this really fat watch, and what I don't understand is why they kept showing people running marathons and climbing mountains and doing all this stupid stuff. Why are they aiming it at these people?
I don't know. It could be because the current Apple Watch series is not up to the task of these extreme sports athletes.
Right, but there's no market for high-tech endurance sports watches.
Oh, I think you're wrong. I think, like, people who sit behind a desk all day at a computer, I think these people...
They need one, yes.
Need an ultra watch, if you would, or a pro watch, or maybe a plus-size watch, maybe a max watch.
Peter, given how hard some of those people probably have to exert themselves to stand up, you're probably right.
We've detected that you've stood up. Are you okay? Do you need us to call for help?
Wait, my Apple Watch just said we've detected some severe sarcasm.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so in case, dear listener, you haven't figured it out yet, Scott's being just a touch sarcastic.
Yeah, we're talking about the event that Apple just had for their new devices, including iPhone, and they introduced the Apple Watch Ultra. And the Apple Watch Ultra is very clearly intended to try to go into the sports watch market. And the thing is that people who do a lot of sports and long events will tell you that Apple Watch is, the standard Apple Watch is not up to it. It's just not up to it.
I'm one of those people.
Right.
I will tell you that.
Battery-wise, GPS accuracy-wise, several things about it that don't meet the needs of serious athletes. And there is, in fact, a gigantic market for watches that do meet the needs of those athletes. And because Apple has finally figured out that their watch is best at fitness and health, you know, aside from notifications and stuff like that, but its best use is not apps. Its best use is fitness and health. And
yes,
if that's the case, they can't just let Garmin and other companies just continue to eat their lunch.
Correct. Now, this is, as we've discussed multiple times on this podcast and on the other podcast, and I'm training for my first ultra marathon. It's, oh my God, 2 weeks away. And I am fairly sure that if I just used my Apple Watch, which is a Series 6, one could argue that maybe the Series 8 has slightly more, you know, slightly better battery life, but I will be carrying my phone with me the whole time, and I will turn off cellular on the watch, turn off Wi-Fi on the watch, turn off the always-on display on the watch, put it in, like, theater mode.
Right.
And then I think I'll have enough battery life to record the workout, like, for mostly an all-day kind of thing, with my cell phone with me. But I also have my cell phone in low power mode with Wi-Fi disabled, for example.
Yeah, and I guess it is naive and dumb of me to not realize that so many nerds would not know that sports watches are a thing. Because when you're not into something, you just don't know about it. But to me, it just seemed like one of those things that I'm not into those sports watches. I mean, I know they exist, though. That's the thing. I know they exist. I don't want to pay $1,000 for a Garmin watch, but I know that it exists.
Yeah. So I had been looking at Garmin watches. I briefly looked at Coros and a couple of others. But, and you know, no doubt for a long, you know, like weekend hike in the woods or ultramarathon or something like that, or even just like lots and lots of running, they're going to be better than a standard Apple Watch. The Garmin Fenix, for instance, the new version, it's got a solar panel on it, so it'll charge in the sunlight.
Can I just say that the way they spell Phoenix is...
It's annoying. Yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah.
But it exists. And, you know, it's... I didn't remember that. That's a multi-hundred dollar watch, right? It's not a cheap watch. What I really do like about the watch, though, the Apple Watch, is that on those days when I am not going to be gone for hours and hours at a time, I just want to go out for a run on my lunch break or something, I can leave the phone at home and just take the watch, asterisk, and an external heart rate monitor, because the heart rate monitor on the watch is a joke because it's on the wrist, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway.
I did hear some commentary from people about that when they were talking about the Ultra, saying presumably the heart rate monitor will be better, blah, 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 and all that. And I thought, you know, no serious athlete is using the heart rate monitor on their watch anyway. They've got one strapped to their chest or their arm.
Really, but when you get to things like, you know, endurance athletes, people running ultra marathons or hiking Everest or whatnot, they're not even tracking that kind of thing. They can tell when they're in the right zone. The ultra marathoners I watch, they do not wear heart rate monitors.
No,
they don't.
But during training, they might. During training,
absolutely during training, and they're not doing it on their wrist.
No, they're not doing it on their wrist. But you're right. During the event, they don't care anymore. They know.
Mm-hmm. So that said,
yeah,
I do want an Apple Watch Ultra.
Yeah, and I think you're a person that will make actual use of it for the reasons that it was intended.
36-hour battery life for starters.
Yeah, so I saw a lot of comments. You saw that Garmin posted a tweet that said, we measure our battery life in months, days or months or whatever they claimed.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that, and which is true, right? You know, but hey, for Apple, a 36-hour battery life or a 60-hour, you know, in low power mode, that's good. You know, I like that they've built in a low power mode so I don't have to turn off Wi-Fi, turn off the always-on display, turn off, you know, the blah, 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 blah. It's just save power. Boom, go. That I like.
And when you say for Apple, let's give context. It's still an Apple Watch. It's still doing all the things that Apple Watch do. That
precisely.
Garmin can't do any of those things. Now, if you don't want them, that's fine. And then you do want the Garmin. Yes.
Yes. But I do like the ability to, when I want to send and receive text messages, send and receive email.
Record a voice message to Scott Wilsey that he has to
check my cholesterol levels for the day, you know, how much I've eaten. You know, I like having all of that stuff. I like having all that ability. Now, as Marco and John Siracusa observed on this week's ATP, of course, you know, half the time on cellular, it just doesn't work because it's, you know, an inferior little cellular chip and stuff. But, you know, this is the price you pay for having it on the watch. But that said, I do like the convenience. There's lots of times I like to be able to just like lift this thing up to my wrist, up to my mouth and, you know, leave you a voice memo or just like, you know, send Scott Wilsey an audio message. So there's a lot of convenience on here I like. I also now am firmly in the Apple ecosystem with respect to their music service. Now, one of the main reasons I did was, you know, I'm in there is because of the Apple Watch, because I can stream music to the Apple Watch. But now, because of my Verizon 5G ultra wide, blah, 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 with my Verizon plan, I get Apple Music for free. So that's another incentive. That's like, what, $8, $10
really
a month?
Is it really for free, Peter?
Well, it's part of my plan. So it's another $10 a month or whatever you'd pay for Spotify or something that I'm not paying for. So that's, in, you know, $120 a month, a year is it's worth, you know, that's something that's not nothing. You know,
I'm not knocking it. I'm just joking. I'm just saying if you're worried about Verizon not making money because they're giving you Apple Music, I can.
Oh, I'm not worried about Verizon. Not at all. But that was one of the things, though. Like the Garmin watches, for instance, they either sometimes they'll allow you to do some Spotify stuff, but most of them, I believe, they'll just let you download your MP3 playlist to them. And I was like, oh, God, I do not want to go back to the days of having to sync playlists through an app to a device, you know. It's just like, no, that was, those were, it was like, it was cool the first time when you're like, wow, look what I can do. But now, you know, just as opposed to just saying like, play my energy running playlist, boom, done. No way, I don't want to go back.
The first time you had to schedule time before you left the house to sync things to your iPod, it seemed like an amazing bit of technology.
Mm-hmm. And then it was just an amazing inconvenience.
That's right.
Yes, we're going back to the days of the Palm Pilot when I had to, you know, like sync contacts, put it in the dock there to sync everything. I remember my first Palm Pilot that was Bluetooth enabled, and what was really cool was that I was like, oh shoot, I forgot to sync. I could start the sync and start to walk out the door, and it would be finished by the time I got to the street and still within Bluetooth range. So for me, that was pretty cool. Like if I forgot to sync my calendar or something like that, I was like, oh crap, I don't have to sit here waiting for a minute. Oh my God. So, you know, that said, it's needless inconvenience. I don't want to go back to that unless it means that I would be saving the earth and the climate and, you know, climate change and the environment and stuff, in which case I would happily go back to that to save the earth.
But you still want my house to burn down.
I never said I wanted your house burned down, and I never wanted your house to burn down.
Okay, I was just asking, why are you so defensive?
I would make a comment about having this recorded, but I know you're just going to bleep out the part and make it sound like, you know, make an incriminating.
Like you're irrational and angry. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Now that we've made fun of nerds who don't know what exercise is and don't know that sports watches exist and that they're a market and Apple has a reason for targeting this thing the way they do, Now that we've made fun of them, tell me, what are the things that we already talked about battery life, but what are the things about this watch that make it so suitable for you that you're looking forward to?
Okay, so again, number one, battery life. Number two, rugged construction.
Yep.
So I have fallen plenty of times while mountain biking or running. Generally, that's not, oddly enough, that is not when the Apple Watch has usually gotten hurt. The times that I have put scratches on them have been when I have like reached under my desk to grab something and scratched it along the cinder blocks that I use to prop my desk up to a standing desk height. But knowing that it's not going to get smashed and, you know, it's going to be crash resistant and stuff, that's a huge thing. The siren, the emergency alert siren that goes up to, what was it, like 96 decibels or something to call for help. That's yeah. pretty cool. The larger display, easier to read. That can be kind of cool, especially yep. since when I run in the trails a lot now, I wear contacts. And that messes up my close-up vision. So anything to make the display a little larger is going to be helpful.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie. Regarding the display, I like the fact that it doesn't have the beveled edges. I like the fact that it's a big, fat, flat display, and the surrounding case comes up over the, you know, the edges of the display aren't visible from the direct side. I like the fact that it's a completely flat, big display.
Yep, exactly. So I think that's pretty slick. Let me head back to their website and just take a look. What else is there? So it's titanium
case. So cellular is included. Yeah, titanium case.
It's genuinely water resistant, you know, to like use with scuba diving. So I will never need that, I hope. Dust resistance, good to just not have to think about that again. The bands, I don't know. I could understand why, like, if you're into scuba diving, the band, you know, that they made specially for the ocean activities and stuff might be appealing to you. Out of all of them, I see the endurance band the least definitive, you know, like I don't see that as major appeal. The action button, I don't even know, you know, you customize that. So when you click it, it does something like start a workout or pause a workout.
It's like so that if you're wearing gloves.
Yes, you can just clickly touch and not have to use the touch screen and stuff.
Right, yeah. Like you can...
Well, if
you
you're can... wearing gloves or it's hot and dirty and sweaty, because I've noticed that. Not as much when I don't use a case, but last year I was using a case a lot and the sweat would get in under beneath the case and the Apple Watch itself so that it would think I was touching and controlling it, but it was just the sweat that was causing that.
So here's the weird thing. I know that with the normal Apple Watch, if you're swimming, it tries to, I think it even automatically stops registering touches for a while mm-hmm. or during certain circumstances. But I think that a completely submerged watch responds better to touch than a watch in the shower, for example. A watch in yeah. the shower just goes crazy. It doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, I think that makes perfect sense, you know, because, yeah, there's a difference between completely immersion. Yeah, and then, so I don't remember. It's not capacitive, right? It's resistive capacitive. I don't remember which one is which. But I can see how beads of sweat and water streaking or, you know, rivulets going across the screen would be more confusing than complete immersion, right? That makes sense. The compass is better. I can definitely see myself using that from time to time when I get, you know, out in the woods.
Capacitive. Resistive ones are the crappy ones.
Temperature. I've been out in the winter time when my watch froze up on me, like figuratively froze, but basically the battery just died real fast because it was super cold out. So yeah, all of those are reasons that I want to, you know, have this thing. Full featured dive computer. I don't really think I care.
Here, what if you're out running in the desert and suddenly you fall into the ocean?
I hope that I can tread water and get out. So, yeah.
The problem is the only place I can think of that happening would be in Somalia, and there's lots of sharks off the shores of Somalia, so I don't think it'll matter at that point.
Yeah, let's not worry about that.
But the good news is, with the rugged titanium case, when the sharks eat you, your watch will survive.
Right, so the alarm will go off. They'll chew it and start the alarm, and then, you know, the shark will explode from the 86 decibels. Like all new Apple Watches, it's got that crash detection. I think that's sounds pretty cool. And then all the other, you know, features that we've talked about that it has already: music, calling and text, maps, Apple Pay, Siri, which I still use.
by the way, the cellular is included by default. There's not a cellular and a non-cellular option, which makes
100% sense. Because if you don't need... Exactly, because if you are using this out in the wilderness, way away from everything and stuff, you need cellular. You know, it's just, yeah.
If you don't need cellular in this watch, you probably don't need this watch.
Yep. So, gripes, the watch will be available 2 days before my run, so I could theoretically buy one beforehand.
Yeah, but here's the problem. I bet you if you would have ordered it, you would have already found the ship date slipping.
Gripe number one. The only band available is either the Alpine or the Ocean, not the Trail band, which I want.
Right. You can use a current band with it in the meantime.
Gripe number two, it's not available for pickup, only delivery. And I'm like, why? Why can't I pick it up in store? And it's like, well, COVID-19 restrictions. I'm like, I picked up my new MacBook Air last month, and nobody was wearing a mask. Why? I don't understand.
I think the real reason is they want to have some available for people to come in the store and buy. And they don't have that millions and millions of them. And until the supply is less constrained, they're going to allocate some for ordering online and some for buying at the store, but not for picking up.
So you ship the one that I want to the store and set it to my house? Why is that not a thing?
Because they don't do that. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's silly. It could be a thing. So anyway, what is most likely going to happen is I will end up running my race, as I said, with my watch in manual low power mode, tethered to my phone, and everything will be fine. And then, who knows, maybe after that I'll even say, oh, I don't even need the Apple Watch Ultra anymore.
I doubt it.
I don't know.
I guarantee you, if you run a 50K with your current Apple Watch, you will be stressed out. The thing is, you have to think about it. You have to manage the watch. I know, mm-hmm. because I took my Apple Watches on long bike events, and they weren't really up to the task at all. You have to think about it, manage it. You know, you have to have your phone with you, first of all, yep. which is a pain in the ass. Yep. You have to manage that. It just becomes a chore. And with the Apple yep. Watch Ultra, a 50K run, you can do without having to worry about managing your device.
Now, of course, there's also the Luddite approach where you can just say, just forget about all of it, because there are people who were doing these endurance events well before the advent of smartwatches. I'm not one of those people.
There were people who were going to work before trains and buses and cars, too. That doesn't mean we're all going to walk to work from now on, because the old people did it.
We might be healthier if we did, though.
There were people that ate food before refrigerators. Are you going to give up your fridge, too?
If I have to save the earth, I would give up my fridge.
I was just thinking to myself, actually, it would probably be a hell of a lot better for the planet.
Yeah, we would. I mean, if we'd have to eat like healthy, local, fresh food all the time.
You'd have to kill your horse right before dinner and eat its warm guts.
Right before dinner.
Yeah.
So why are nerds stupid?
No, this was back to the topic I was talking about. I was looking at the Mac Stories and Six Colors Discords when I was watching the event.
Okay.
And they're good Discords. I'm not knocking them at all. But it did surprise me how many nerds couldn't figure out why Apple was showing people doing sports when they were showing this watch. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't understand why they didn't just tout it as more battery life. It's like, that's not the point of this watch. The point of this watch isn't just more battery life.
I think these people missed something, or they're just really, really clueless. It was clear. They're showing people hiking in the Himalayas.
Even before they showed it, he said like three times, this is for endurance athletes.
So I was telling you last night, I won't name the podcast again, but there's another podcast. You said you listened to it briefly and you decided you didn't like it.
Yeah.
I still listen to it because I find the hosts entertaining, mm-hmm. but one of them has had serious health problems, and even like within the last few months had a stroke. And this is after he's been on his own podcast numerous times talking about how bad shape he's in, how his health is bad. His doctors are telling him, oh, you gotta, we need to get you in right away. One of his levels of his blood was in like the thousands, like your count is like 4,000 and like 200 is high, so you're like, you're going straight to the emergency room.
So his stroke was probably because of his physical condition, you're saying?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely and absolutely preventable, avoidable, and stupid. And I take this very, you know, this hits close to home because, you know, family history of very similar things. Like, this did not have to happen.
Why? I don't think a stroke is something you want to have happen if it's at all preventable.
I would tend to agree because living is pretty important to me, you know?
Where have I heard that before?
Huh, I don't know. But anyway, so this guy, not only that, he also has complained about being in debt numerous times on the podcast and stuff. And of course, yesterday he says like, oh yeah, I ordered the Apple Watch Ultra. I wanted something new. This guy can't even like walk a quarter mile, but he's getting the Apple Watch. Now, this is our country, free society. Sure, you know, if you want it, great, do it. But man, I was like, and for some reason I'm not, maybe I'm an inch closer today. You know, to like just unsubscribing from the podcast and stuff. Like, they still say things that entertain me and stuff, so I still listen. But it drives me nuts that this guy is in completely horrendous shape, nowhere near an athlete, complains about his financial situation, and then orders the most expensive watch you could, with the, you know, possible exception of the Hermes.
I know, but a lot of people wear Adidas track pants that have never jogged an inch in their life. And you know what I'm saying? Like, some people just like the way this thing looks, and it does look nice.
To some people. Some people think it looks ugly, and it's big and bulky and gaudy.
There are definitely going to be people who like the way it looks. They either have the money or are willing to go in debt, and they will buy one for that. I guess the question is, are we right to be so judgmental about them? We are judgmental about them, but are we right to be so judgmental about them?
I would probably say... that I'm getting too worked up about it.
Yeah.
And part of it, like, if it was a friend of mine, it would be coming from a different angle. I would be like, I care about you. I don't want to hear about you complaining about your finances. For God's sake, don't spend $800 on a watch when the SE would do everything you need to do. That's just stupid.
Right. But let's say this friend wasn't, the finances weren't a problem. But they were just never going to use the capabilities of this watch. They just liked the way it looked.
I mean, that's like someone buying a Lamborghini and never exceeding the speed limit.
Maybe, okay. But maybe it's like somebody buying a nice suit that they wear three times in 3 years.
Again, but that gets back to the conversation about opulence and decadence and destroying the planet, you know, on things that we don't need.
Yeah, so I think that my severe reaction was initiated by how many people didn't understand why this watch existed, why Apple was marketing it towards athletes, didn't even know that there was a sports watch market, and that's why Apple's doing this. And I think if Apple is going to have a watch that they tout as fitness and health related, they have to also enter this market. I think they have to. It certainly wouldn't be a good move not to ever do it. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely.
Because no serious athletes are using the Apple Watch. No really serious athletes.
I agree. There was a recent survey of two running associations. One was the American Trail Runners Association and the International Trail Runners Association. And if I recall correctly, the bulk of people were using like Garmin products for their stuff. And if I recall correctly, there are more people not using any smartwatch than those using Apple watches, for instance. But it was like Garmin, something else, nothing, Apple, other.
And I think that a lot of people get cynical about Apple, and that's fine. There are things to be cynical about Apple with, just like any capitalist organization. But I do think that Apple has really leaned into and takes the fitness and health aspects of the watch seriously. And given that fact, I think that this market is a natural for them. And I'm glad they did it because honestly, I like the Apple Watch as a whole. But I always knew that if I ever did some, you know, endurance bike ride again or any of those things, the Apple Watch was going to be a major pain in the ass to use.
Yep. Yeah, with 18-hour battery life is just not enough. That's 18 hours not doing anything.
Yeah, it's not 18 hours of workout, I'll tell you that.
Not even close.
Not even 5 or 6 hours of workout.
So real quick, my beer is getting low, but what did you think about the other Apple technology updates. So they also updated the iPhone and the AirPods. What were your thoughts on those?
I'm getting new AirPods Pro because mine has a slight tick in it. It's not the full buzz that some people are getting. But when I run or do something, and I don't think it's a mechanical thing. I think it's the noise cancellation going weird in that ear. It's only on the left one, and I think it's doing weird things. And also, there are just some things that I like better about. These are things that I have in my ears many hours per week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worth it for me.
For me, the AirPods Pro are still more of a convenience than a necessity, mostly because I do not use them when I'm working out. I cannot use these for running. They would fall out and I would lose one or both of them every time.
They don't move at all when I run.
Yeah. For me, well, the other thing too is they do move when you chew, don't they?
No. I feel their presence. You've complained to me about them falling out
when you chew.
Previous AirPods, not the AirPods Pro.
Not these guys?
No.
Okay. All right.
These don't move at all. The regular AirPods used to fall out.
Yeah. Okay, my AirPods Pro, they definitely fall out when I chew. They also will move around when I run. And if I am chewing and running at the same time, they will expel out of my ear. So I don't use them for working out. I've been using $25, something literally costs one-tenth the price of the AirPods when I go out on my runs and stuff. If I lose them, whatever. It's going to cost less to replace those than it would to replace, you know, an AirPod under Apple Care even. So,
see, I had more qualms about wearing them when I was biking, but when I'm running, mm-hmm. I don't have any qualms whatsoever. I can't run fast enough to not know where my AirPod went.
Oh, that's the thing, though, too, is you're not, running down bushy single track or, like, right along a dam where, you know, one
True.
False move.
No, 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 no. But you know, because I never have any problems with them slipping, I think I would do it anyway.
Yeah.
But if they're prone to slipping out, yeah, for sure. That would be a problem. Yeah.
But out of all the billions and billions of people whose ears they have lasered to get, you know, the right dimensions, I apparently wasn't there that day, so.
What were they lasering on you? Where do your AirPods fit? Let me put it that way.
Yeah, up my nose. I can just right up the nostril and it'll work great. So let's table the virtues of rest for our next episode. But on one last bit of Apple stuff. So wait. So phones. What's your thoughts?
I think they did make another good improvement on the cameras. And to me, I mean, smartphones, they're just smartphones now. There's not that much you can do to them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I definitely enjoy the experience on an iPhone more than an Android phone. That remains the same. But in terms of the experience of using a phone, you're never going to buy a new iPhone and go, oh my God, I can't believe how so much fun Twitter is to use now. It's just never going to happen.
Yep. They can just make them better to use, easier to use, improve the battery life, improve the, you know,
they're not
make
exciting.
Them faster.
There's not going to be an exciting right. updates, but the cameras, they do keep doing better. And those are important to me.
Yeah, they look, I was comparing, you know, just doing a side by side. The cameras are like exponentially, you know, leaps and bounds ahead of where, like, I'm on a 12 Pro Max, but I don't care. You know, like, I don't care that much for me.
When you and I were talking earlier, I wasn't trying to say you should get rid of the Pro Max and go to a 14 Pro. What I was saying was get the Pro. When you do buy, get the Pro, not
when
the regular model. That's what I was saying.
But right now, you know, what I was looking at was like the 12 Pro Max and the 14 Plus, not Pro, are functionally very similar. You know, the 14 has a slightly faster processor and a better camera, but other than that...
I would never buy the standard iPhone camera compared to the Pro camera, just because I'm going to hold onto my phone for a long, long, long time.
Right.
And I've had a lot of pictures I've taken that I look at and I'm like, man, I can see... You know, they just... I went from a XS Max to a 13 Pro. You can't believe the change in cameras between those two.
I went from a 5S to an 8 to an 11 to a 12 Pro Max, I think. But I just realized, I said I've had it for 2 years. I've only actually had this for just about a year because I got it just before the 13 was released because Verizon almost gave it to me. It was like $100.
That's exactly what happened to me. I got the 13 not that long before this event. But right. It was because they gave me way more than my old phone was worth to trade that phone in.
Exactly.
It wasn't that the discount was going to make me do it if I didn't already want the better cameras. Because I had taken a lot of photos recently that didn't turn out that great. And I'm like, you know, and then I would see my daughter and wife's cameras and I'm like, I really need newer cameras.
Camera envy. Yeah.
Camera envy was the only thing. Exactly. That was it.
But on that note, there is one. So, the new stuff that they did introduce with all the 14s that really I think is cool. Crash detection, also in all the new Apple Watches. I think that's I really like the safety features. Satellite connectivity. That is awesome. Even on my daily or my regular weekly runs, just, you know, a few miles from home, there are spots where I have no cell signal.
Oh, absolutely. When we go to the coast, there are some of those around here too. And also when, like, for example, when we go to the coast, there's extended periods of time where you have no signal. It's not that it's only for people climbing remote mountains. It happens everywhere. Yeah.
No, it's people who live.
Yeah. And the way they did it is pretty smart. It condenses things down. It's literally just for contacting help in emergencies.
Yep. I liked it. Well, but they also that you can use Find My, you can use it with Find Friends.
Right, too. But what I mean is you can't be composing long.
Yeah, you're not going to be surfing Twitter on your phone over satellite. But no, I like that. It was like, that's, everybody has a sat phone now. Everyone has sat phone connectivity pretty much covering the globe. That's pretty cool. I like that feature. That is, frankly, the most compelling reason that I would buy an iPhone 14 right now if I was going to.
See, I can't understand. That was the other thing that was weird to me, besides the fact that nobody knows that people do sports, is that a lot of people couldn't figure out. They were like, man, Apple's so morbid now. What's with all this morbid? Are we really complaining that Apple's adding safety features to their devices? And not just random safety features, but ones that actually matter to people.
They're complaining that Apple is brilliant at marketing.
Literally, I saw somebody say, fear sells. And I'm like, I think they're just, this is just life, you guys.
I will not disagree that they are capitalizing on fear. I think they are.
But I think they're genuinely trying to solve real problems.
Oh, absolutely. But that's the thing. Just like I believe Apple cares about my privacy. I believe Apple cares about my safety. Because they can leverage this as a market differentiator. I don't think people, you know, Steve Jobs and Wozniak did not found Apple and say, we want to preserve people's lives and save them from bad things. That was not the goal.
Well, when they founded Apple, personal computers ran stuff in a shell.
I understand. But when Tim Cook took over after Steve Jobs died, he did not say, and we are going to focus on everyone's safety because that's the purpose of the company. The company of Apple is to make money. But in this case, their goals align with mine. My safety and my privacy are things that I value. So if I can get those from an Apple product, yeah, I'm inclined to, buy an Apple product.
Yeah, I still think that you can make money and have some values. And I do not always agree with Apple's values. There are some things that I think they're totally hypocritical on. And there are some things that they do wrong. But I do think that they actually have these values and they can see ways to make money on it. Otherwise, they would be another Facebook. They would be selling. If they couldn't make money doing this, they could probably make more money being a Facebook, Peter.
Did you hear the latest from Facebook? And they disbanded the team on, what was it called, the ethics or not ethics, but there's a team to basically investigate the repercussions on society and health and stuff of their actions, and they just disbanded it.
Because they because if that team was actually full of intellectually honest people, they were probably telling them things they didn't want to hear.
Bingo.
No, Facebook is a horrible company with horrible people doing horrible things. And then I honestly believe either Mark Zuckerberg is one of the biggest assholes in the world, or he has got the biggest case of cognitive dissonance in the universe.
I want to say you can't possibly be that disassociated from reality.
Oh, I think you absolutely can.
I suppose you can. I'm still erring on the side of him being one of the biggest assholes in the universe.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. That's not a black hole. Yeah,
that's my thought.
Yeah.
So on that note, I think that's a great way to wrap, except one last little bit. There is another piece of Apple hardware that I will be buying.
Why?
I am succumbing to the pressure, and I will be buying an AirTag.
Oh, clearly. Oh, you're just fear sales, Peter. What are you afraid of?
I'm afraid that about 3 days ago, I lost the Tesla key fob, and it's going to cost me $205 to replace it.
Are you worried more about the $205, or are you worried more about where that fob is?
I'm worried more about the $205 because I have a pin on my car.
Well, what do you
mean?
You
can't drive it with just the tub. I mean, you have to enter a 4-digit pin to drive my car. You can't just use the key fob.
Yeah, but 4-digit pins.
It's a manual entry kind of thing. I mean, you'd have to, like, yeah. I'm worried about the $205 versus the $29 for an AirTag.
Let me ask you this, though. Since you have to pay $205 to get a new one, can you have them reprogram it so it's a different code or whatever?
They bring it to you and program it in.
No, not program the fob to match the car. Can they change the code that the car wants to receive?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think they have to reprogram all your fobs. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. They reprogram what the fob is sending the car.
I believe that happens. I believe you have to have all your fobs handy when they do that.
Okay. Otherwise, there's still a fob out there that can get into your car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's still a fob could get into my car. But again, they couldn't drive the car. But yes, they could get into the car.
No, we just said that they can't get into the car because they're going to reprogram.
No, not if they've reprogrammed it. At this very moment, there's a fob out there somewhere that someone could get into my car with.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. But that they're going to alleviate their problem, so it doesn't matter. Where is this fob? What did you do with it? Yeah.
If I knew where it was, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
Oh. It's just a weird thing to lose.
It's like losing your keys. It's one of the most common things that people lose ever. What are you talking about?
My keys are always in the same pants pocket. They never go anywhere else. Especially now that, especially with a wireless fob where you don't have to pull it out of your pocket. You never have to pull it out of your pocket.
You may have never lost your keys before. Yeah. I assure you, you are the exception, and that I will borrow words from the Scott Wilsey playbook. Every other person on planet has lost their keys, Scott. People lose their keys. It happens. So, and now I am one of those people. So I have lost my key fob. I have a spare, which is great. But, you know, I like to have a spare. And right now I do not have a spare.
Yeah, you should always have a spare, for sure.
You should always have a spare. So I am going to order myself an AirTag and attach it to my remaining key fob. And then the good part is I can use my phone to unlock my car. As long as it's working right and it's online and has internet connectivity.
Wow. There's a lot of ifs there.
Uh-huh.
And it's probably slower than hell.
Well, just to do the unlock part, you know, as long as it's online and it has a signal, it's not that big a deal. But like if I go to my parents' house and I park it out in the backyard where their Wi-Fi doesn't reach, I'm never getting back into my car again if I don't have a key.
Are you getting your parents' Apple Watch Ultras?
No, but my dad has a Series 4, which has fall detection. And I did make him watch, I said, just watch the first 10 minutes of the keynote from this week. And now he understands why I bought him the watch. Because he's walking around the house the other day and was like, where's your watch? Oh, over there on the charger. I said, why is it not on your wrist? Well, I wasn't going anywhere. And I said, remember when you told me about your friend, you know, I gave him like two different friends within the past year who have fallen at home and like broken their hips and stuff. I was like, where did they fall? At home. Like, where are you right now? At home.
Remind me, does the 4 have the cardiac thing? Because your cardiac events don't wait for your watch to come off your charger.
Cardiac thing. I think the 4 had that.
I think the 4 did. I think the 4 is when it started.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they've had that for some time now. So, yeah. So anyway, long story short, as my aunt would say, I'm buying an AirTag.
Nice. I will be very curious to see whether it's annoying or not when it's on the fob.
Well, I'm getting it as a key. It's going to be more bulk to it, but I got a little, you know, keychain attachment for it. So I bought one on Etsy for like $5 plus $5 shipping, as opposed to buying one from Apple for $29 plus shipping.
Is it genuine?
It's leather.
It's genuine leather? So, someone kill a cow?
Someone killed a cow for this. Yeah.
Wow.
There you go. And I'm not going to engrave it. So, but anyway, yeah. Oh, personalize your tattoo. Oh, I can put an emoji on it. I can put a lol emoji on there. Oh my gosh. I am not doing that.
You can put an eggplant emoji on there.
Tempting. Very tempting. Very but I'm not going to do that.
Very tempting.
Very tempting. Not going to do it.
Okay.
So anyway. All right, that's enough of that. I think we should wrap this up. Do we want to tell people how to find us, or do we just assume they know?
They can find us by locating Peter's AirTag in their Find My app. No, they can't.
Good luck with that.
They can go to friendswithbeer.com, or they can go to Twitter and try to sound out Friends with Beer Pod. That's Friends with Beer Pod. We have many 6 followers. How many followers do we have now? 6, 12, 20?
I don't know. Tens?
It's tens. Do we even have tens? There's for sure it's not higher than that. I don't even think it's that high.
Tens of followers.
Let me go to Friends Wabir Pod and look at our
Friends Wabir Pod.
How do I find my profile? Hey, where is my profile? Here it is. We have 18 followers, so we actually do.
Wow, we have tens of followers.
Some of these I don't trust. One is a Syracusa says, at Syracusa says. One is a Sublime Computer Services. Never heard of them.
I don't trust either of those guys.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, that's how you can find us. And we would love to hear your feedback. I'm sure we'll get
would
right.
We? Do we really want to hear their feedback?
No,
we
really As I was saying that, I was wondering. But no, we actually would love to hear your feedback, or at least things that you would like to hear us talk about. Beers that you would like us to... Oh, no, forget it. People have terrible taste in beer. I would like to know what you drink, though. It doesn't necessarily mean that we'll try it. As you may have noticed, we normally do try to drink things that are somewhat local to us. Although this 21st Amendment Brewing, who makes this Hell or High Watermelon, where are they located? Let's see. This is San Leonardo, California.
Oh, that's local
San Leonardo.
To you.
I think it's San Leandro.
San Leonardo. Yeah. How many of them have you had?
One very tall one. This is a...
Oh, boy.
How big is this can, Peter?
16 ounces.
No, I think this is 20. 1 pint, 3.2 fluid ounces.
Holy cow.
Yep.
That's huge.
It is gigantic, I'm telling you.
Mine's just a pint. Wow. I didn't realize beer came in that size outside of Australia. Cool. All right. Let's put a pin in this one. I need to go watch some more television and take a nap and sit outside and do chores and eat dinner and all kinds of other things.
Sounds good. You know what I'm going to go do. And it's not take a nap, unfortunately, although now I'm tempted to just do that anyway. So.
Well, all right then.
Peter, you're a friend.
Scott, you drank a beer.
There was a time at work once when they were giving us free ice cream, and it was good ice cream too. It wasn't garbage. But what they wanted us to do in order to earn our free ice cream was they suggested that we take one of the free cards that they were also providing and write a message to a coworker on it. So my friend Colin and I, my coworker Colin and I, went down there to get the ice cream. So I took a card and I wrote, "You are a coworker," on it, and I gave it to him.
You are a coworker, just like it is a beer.
Yes, it is a beer. Peter, you are a friend. You are a co-host.
You drank a beer.
Yeah.
And you are what you drink, so you are a beer.
You are a co-host.
All right, let's put a pin in this one. Hit
Sounds
that
good.
Big red button.
Big purple red button.
Big red button!